erased. So we're the last parasha in the Torah. The last parasha in the Torah is Rizota Bracha, which is special. It's the bracha, or the collection of brachot, that are given by Moshe Rabbeinu to the various tribes. But that parasha, which we read on Simchat Torah every year, is introduced by curious psukim. And it's those two curious psukim that we want to look at today. Actually, it's the second. The first two psukim in the parasha, Vizot HaBracha, Asher Berach Moshe Isha Elokim et Bnei Yisrael Lifnei Moto. Rashi says that Lifnei Moto means Samuch L'mitato, not before he died. Everything Moshe Rabbeinu did, he did before he died. So Rashi explains to us that Lifnei Moto means Samuch L'mitato, near. He's about to die. That's what Rashi says. You ever hear that? It's one of the things that kind of got into general culture. If not now, when? So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to himself, I better do it. I don't have much time left. And as Rashi leads us, Rashi creates a dilemma. And the dilemma is that why was it that Moshe Rabbeinu waited until he was about to die to give this bracha to Bnei Yisrael? I mean, he could have done it earlier. Rashi, we inherit the dilemma from Rashi, but Rashi doesn't help us explain it. He just says that if a person allows things to go and you find that you don't have time, so then naturally you better get going. Right? That's what Rashi says. Now the second, but this pasuk is relatively simple and almost comprehensible. You know that the Maharal says, the Maharal was very unhappy that they taught children Chumash with Rashi, with Rashi's commentary. And the Maharal said that in his opinion, Rashi's commentary is very deep and profound and raises issues that the children can't possibly understand. So, for example, this is like a good example. Rashi raised an issue. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu wait until he was almost dead to do this, which sounds very important, bracha? So, I mean, it's true. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the answer is. So if children learn this question from Rashi, they may come out disappointed at the what the Torah is saying. I think that's what the Maharal meant. But if you look at Rashi carefully, Rashi not only solves problems, but creates them. And in the creation of problems, you have to have a lot of wherewithal to solve those problems. You can't just... So, here we are. The second pasuk. Vayomar. And he, Moshe Rabbeinu, said... And he said a series of phrases that are hard to understand. Hashem, Yudke Vavke, Hashem, Misinai Ba. I mean, we understand the words, came from Sinai. Did you ever imagine that God came from Sinai? This pasuk is in the parasha of Vizot HaBracha since the Torah was given to Bnei Yisrael. And we read it every single year. In fact, according to our minhag, we read it endlessly, again and again and again. And I'm going to show you that there's this pasuk that we read again and again and again at the beginning of the Zot HaBracha, which doesn't mean anything. It's totally incomprehensible. Hashem Misinai Ba. Hashem Lo Ba Misinai. Hashem Ba Min Hashamayim. That's what it says in the Chumash. It doesn't Ba Misinai. Second, Zarach Meseir Lamo. So the word Lamo, if we were into that, we would say it's a kind of a antiquated form of Lahem. Right? It's like an alternate form of the pronoun Lahem, which is generally not used, but could be used, and here it is. Why? Nobody knows. Zarach. What is Zarach? Zarach is the sun comes up, that's called Zricha. Light, you have this impression of light moving, of more light, that's Zarach. Niseir. Seir, what's Seir? Seir Har Seir is the territory of Esav. So, Zarach may Seir Lamo. What does that have to do with Hashem Nisinai Ba? What does that do with anything? What is Hofia, the next clause? Hofia Mihar Paran. Paran. Paran was the place of Yishmael. Paran was the place of Yishmael. What is Hofia? Mi Hofia? Hashem Hofia? The Paran? I have no recollection of that. If you do, you can tell me. Hofia Mihar Paran. The Ata Meribavot Kodesh. Ata sounds like an Aramaic word, which is usually spelled Aleph Tav Aleph in Aramaic, at least in the word, the text that we have. Ata in Aramaic means ba, uba. Like we have it ready, Hashem is Sinai ba. So let's assume that that's what the word Ata means. I don't know why should there be an Aramaic word in the middle of everything. I don't know. Ata. Miriva wrote Kodesh. Okay, Kodesh. I know what Kodesh is. What's Riva vote? What's Riva vote? Riva va is 10,000. Riva vote is many 10,000s. What is this talking about? Mimino. On his right, who's the antecedent? Who are we talking about? Hashem. So here the Pasuk says that Hashem has a right side. If Hashem has a right side, so Hashem has a left side. That's called anthropomorphism. In other words, we're saying that God looks like something. You could distinguish the right and the left. I mean, maybe I don't know what God looks like, but usually God, why would God have a right side, or a left side, or any side at all? Then you have this problem. It's written, Eish, that. And then the word, Lamo, again. Now, Eish means fire. And fire reminds me of the word Zarach. But that, oddly enough, as far as I know, is a Persian word. Begatehem shonot mikol av. Who said that? Haman to Achashverosh, and datehem are the way they do act religiously. That's what data, what dat means. It's the religious regulations of the Jews are different. Shonot mikol am. That was a ta'ana against them. It's always a ta'ana, anti-Semitic and anti-other. They're different. Different is already a ta'ana. But as we all know, that nobody likes. Very different. Maybe a little different I can put up with, but very different. So I have a pasuk. Eish means fire. That means regulations. Me know. The fire of the law, the rule. Lamo, lahem. Again, that word. So Rashi tries to clear this up. And Rashi says, "Vayomer Hashem Sinai ba, patach tchila b'shivcho shel makom. Mi patach tchila b'shivcho shel makom? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying this pasuk. He's telling a story. So patach b'shivcho shel makom. What's shivcho shel makom? V'chakach patach b'tzorchehem shel Yisrael. What does this sound like? What does it sound like? Like davening." Right? How do you daven? First shevach. First you say things about God, about heaven. And then you ask for whatever you have to ask for. That's davening. So, patach tchila b'shivcho shel makom v'chakach patach b'tzorchehem shel Yisrael. So you see, Moshe Rabbeinu is davening. Moshe Rabbeinu is davening. U'b'shevach shepatach bo יש בו הזכרת זכות לישראל בשבח שפתח בו, the praise that Moshe Rabbeinu began with, יש בו הזכרת זכות לישראל. So this praise, that he chose praise, which reflects positively upon Bnei Yisrael, וכל זה דרך ריצוי הוא. And this is all in order to find favor. This is Moshe Rabbeinu wants to find favor. Klonar, kedaihem elu. This is what he's saying. He's saying these people, he's saying to God, these people, Bnei Yisrael, are worthy. Shetachu alehem bracha. Right. So what was the praise? What was the shevach that was the praise of Bnei Yisrael that Moshe Rabbeinu said? So you have to continue in Rashi. Hashem Sinai ba, that's what the pasuk says. Yetzal ikratam, God came out to greet them. Kshebaal nityatzei betachtit ahar kechatan, hayotzei lakpil p'nei kala, where God was like a chatan, and Bnei Yisrael were like the kala. Shenemar likrat ha'elokim, lamadnu sheyatzan kenegdam. So now, Hashem Misinai Ba. What is Hashem Misinai Ba? It was an act of love. Right? It's an act of love. And this is something that Rashi doesn't have trouble with. If you read the Rashi on Shir HaShirim, you have to Pesach. You read the Rashi on Shir HaShirim, that's how Rashi understands Shir HaShirim. Right? It's God's love for Bnei Israel. God comes out. But here, What Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us is something that we didn't know. Because we know that God came from heaven down on Har Sinai as a cloud, but we did not know that God came towards Bnei Yisrael when they came to Har Sinai, and that's what Misinai God means. And that comes from the Pasuk in Shemot, Likrat HaElokim, that Bnei Yisrael came towards God. But really, now Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us that it means that God came towards them. I mean, like, you know, any physicist will tell you that they're both the same. Well, it doesn't matter if you go there or there comes here. It's the same. You see it. The same. You see the same thing. It's like an illusion. Okay. Now the pasuk says, Sarach mi seir lamo. Like, remember Rashi's position. That basically, Moshe Rabbeinu is now speaking Shevach. These are words of Shevach, which include praise for Bnei Yisrael. So what is Arach B'Seir Lamo? Shepatach Levnei Esav Sheikablu Et HaTorah V'Moratzu. Zarach, the first thing that happened before Matan Torah, Zarach M'Seir Lahem. Like that, the light of the Torah came to Esav. And God said to Esav, do you want the Torah? Rashi says, the Loratzu. So therefore, it contains praise for God, that God was willing to give the Torah to anybody who wanted it. And it contains praise for Israel, for Bnei Israel, because the Esav people didn't want the Torah. Right, so when they don't want it, so we look better. You know, if God had given the Torah to Bnei Israel straight away, and today, so would have taken the Torah, so everybody would say, look, the Torah is a good deal. It's a skulah. It's a treasure. You offer it to us, we would have taken it. So this way, it looks like all the reasonable people in the world didn't want the Torah. So that Bnei Israel taking the Torah look even better. They look better than, so that's the Sheva. That's the Sheva. Va'ata. Like the next, Hofia Mahar Paran, oh Rashi, I'm sorry, Hofia Lehemi Har Paran, Shalach Shamu Patach Levnei Yishmael Shekablua V'Loratzu. First Bnei Esav, then Bnei Yishmael. I mean, both of these are the sons of Avraham Avinu. Like Yishmael, the son of Abraham, and Esav, the son of Yitzchok. So they should have been able to tell that the Torah was a worthy thing, because after all, they grew up with the Torah to some extent. They knew that the Torah was coming to the world. Va'ata, L'Yisrael Me'rivvot Kodesh. Ata L'Yisrael, it came to B'nai Yisrael Me'rivvot Kodesh. So what's Rivvot Kodesh? I told you, Rivvot is tens of thousands, or many ten thousands. Kodesh, we don't know. V'imo Miktzat Rivvot Malachei Kodesh. Here's Rashi. Rashi says, Kodesh? That means Malachei Kodesh. I mean, you see Rashi. Well, what do you mean it means Malachi? It doesn't mean Malachi Kodesh, it means Kodesh. Why did Rashi say it means Malachi Kodesh? Because Rashi is going to make sense out of the Torah. Right? And if he has to use Chazal, he's going to use Chazal to make sense out of the Torah. There's no mystery left. There can't be a mystery left when Rashi finishes explaining it. I mean, he had mystery before. When Yisrael was a Kodesh, we know Mitzaku wrote Malachi Kodesh, below Kulam. The Rambam may rivvot kodesh. May means not all of them, but from the tremendous number of kodesh that exists, some were there. The lokedarech basav adam shemer kol kvodo shovetivato biyom chupato. So who is this praise of? Raka may rivvot kodesh. Praise of Hashem. Hashem could have shown them all the Rivvot Kodesh, but Hashem did not. That's like a melech who shows all of his glory beyond chupato. God did not do that. May Rivvot Kodesh. Then finally, Eish Dat. Shaita Eish Dat. Dat, I told you, is Torah. It's the rules of the Torah. It's the laws of it. It's another word for the Torah. Eish. Eish means fire. How do you get the Torah and the fire together? So Rashi says, Shaitak tuva me'az lechanav, great theological position. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is understood by Chazal as having the Torah. The Torah was used as the blueprint for the creation, whatever that might mean. And so God had the Torah. So Rashi says, Shaitak tuva be'az lefana be'esh chora al gabei esh levana. Now this is a notion that the Ramban uses. Here you see Rashi uses esh levana al gabei esh chora al gabei esh levana. Means, if you look at the Torah, you see something. And that's something that you see is comprehensible. And that's the Eish HaShchorah. But if you could look beyond that, you'd see the Eish Levana. Eish Levana means impenetrable, or we're not capable of getting to the bottom of it. So we have to understand that if Chazal said that the Torah pre-existed creation, and that God had the Torah before creation, it wasn't exactly the Torah that God gave us, but it was the Torah that was written by Eish Levana. It was the Torah that could only be comprehended by God. It was not the Torah that could be comprehended by anyone. That's the Eish Shchorah. Right? That's the Eish Shchorah. So, again, like now I read the Rashi, right? I read the Rashi, we read the Pasuk, V'yom Hashem Sinai Ba, right? God came towards B'nai Yisrael, V'zerach V'sei Olamo, Ophiya Mehaparan, V'ata Merekodesh. So it's like pieces, but we don't know exactly what the pieces come together as. So approximately 1,000 years later, the Sfat Emet wrote on this topic. And that's what we want to take a look at. The Sfat Emet, just the Sfat Emet. Sfat Emet. There's a pasuk in Mishlei that's quoted in the Medrash at the beginning of Devarim. Marpe Lashon Eitz Chayim. The cure of Lashon, which means the tongue or language, Eitz Chayim. It's a tree of life. Tree. It's a tree of life. My wife says, I should speak louder. So I'll try. It's very rare that anybody's wife tells him that he should speak louder. So I don't want to miss out on this opportunity. So the Medrash says, Matei Lashon Eitz Chaim Zaposuk. That's how the Medrash starts. And then he says, HaTorah Ma'ata Lashon Eitz Chaim Torah. Matat Alashon, that somehow Torah fixes Lashon. We sort of got the idea, but we haven't got the exact meaning. Beyurayan. So the Sfasam says, listen. Beyurayan means listen. Ki sefer mishne Torah hazeh hu bechinat Torah shebaalpeh. He said, do you know what Mishneh Torah is? What's Mishneh Torah? The Book of Dvarim. Everybody knows that the Book of Dvarim is different than the other four books of the Torah. This difference was noted by endless numbers of people beginning with Chazal. I include, of course, Spinoza, who noticed it very well. And also the Abarbanel, who also noticed it very well. And it depends how you look at it. Well, it depends what a priori position you adopt. If your a priori position is that the Torah is the Torah, so you'll have what kind of interpretation? If your a priori position, like Spinoza's position, was that the Torah is not the Torah, but it's something else, so your way of understanding is different. Now, the Sfasem has may have known about Spinoza. I have no idea. But he disagreed with him. And he thought that the Torah was the Torah. That's Spinoza. I mean, that's the Sfasem. Anyway, so he says this. Everyone understands that the Book of Devarim is Moshe Rabbeinu's book. And when I say it's Moshe Rabbeinu's book, I mean it's a kind of Torah Sheba'al Peh for the Torah Shebichtav. It's true, they've all written. But we know that the Gemara, that the Mishnah, that's Torah Sheba'al Peh. But it's all written down and printed. I mean, you buy it as a book. And the fact that it's written down doesn't matter. So that the Book of Dvarim, according to the Sfas Emes, is the Torah Sheba'al Peh in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Who wrote that Torah Sheba'al Peh? Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what he says. He says, Mishneh Torah Hazeh Hu Bechinat Torah Sheba'al Peh Asher Diber Moshe. Asher Diber Moshe. This is the first pasuk in Devarim. Asher Diber Moshe. Take the first letter of every word, Asher Aleph, Diber Dalet, Moshe Mem, Reshei Tevot Adam. Reshei Tevot Adam. What does that mean? So what if it's Adam? Reshei Tevot, it could be anything, it could be banana. What does it have to do with what we're talking about? So the Sfas Emes says, Ki hu ikar ha-adam. כמו שכתוב, פסוק יחזקאל, אדם אתם. In other words, in some way, for man / woman to become the best that they could be, they have to create Torah Sheba'al Peh. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, look, Torah Shebichtav is not sufficient. You need a Torah Sheba'al Peh. He was teaching them. And not only that, it's not only my idea, but God wants us to be as much us as we can be, and the way to do that is to learn Torah. That's what the Sfas Emes says. Sha'alav ne'emar. Because about Adam, it is said, Vayipach ba'apav, Nefesh Chayim, right? God breathed into his nose, right? And then Vayehi, with Nefesh Chaya, and the Pasuk is translated by Ungulus as Ruach Memalela. Ruach memalela means spirit speaking. So what what is it that man makes a man, and not a cockroach? The fact that he can talk, the fact that he can speak, that's the primary quality. That's the primary quality. Now, it's true that people who run races think that what makes a man, is that he runs fast. But according to the Sfata Met, what does it is the fact that you could talk. And that's what Ogulis says. Ogulis says, Vayipach ba'apav nishmat chayim, translates it as Ruach memalala. Everybody knows that because Ogulis usually translates things literally. And this is very unliteral. Sha'al zeh nivra adam hamidaber. Why was man created speaking? Because through speaking he can actualize himself. He can be the best. How does he become the best? He talks about the Torah. He creates the Torah Shemal Peh. That's the ultimate kind of speech. Right? It's true that most people grunt. How are you? Where are you going? People grunt. Right? But the Torah, the Sfat Emet says, the way he understands it is that the capacity to speak is designating. It makes you into a person. Then you have to speak the right thing. You have to speak things that are worth speaking. And the right thing to speak according to him is Torah, you'll see. Kemoshe katub, Amzu yatzarti, Apostle in Yeshayahu, Amzu, B'nei Yisrael. You know what that Apostle teaches you? Amzu. Besides what the Sfat Emet says. Amzu, Zion is how many? 7. 6 is how many? I mean, Vav is, I'll give you the answer. Zion is 7. Vav is, and together, 13. That's the source for a bar mitzvah. That pasuk is the source for having a bar mitzvah, like making a little party. Amzu zeh tzarta, because it's not just that you got to the age, but you became a real person. Amzu yatzarta, that's the drasha. But here, the Sfat Emet says, not saying that. He's saying, that this is what makes a person into a person. Bechinat Torah shebaal peh lo tzimi pi milin la'ir ha'borei barat Moshe katuv atem edai. Another pasuk in Yishayahu, the same parak. Atem edai, you are my witnesses. What do you mean you are my witnesses? You're my witnesses to what? What are we witnesses of? Well, we're witnesses that God created the world. How are we witnesses that God created the world? We weren't there. We can't say I was there when God created the world. I saw it being done. We can't say that. So what is it that makes us witnesses? What makes us witnesses to the creation of the world? Because we're the best in the creation. In other words, and the way to become the best in the creation is to become God-like. And the way to become God-like is to learn the Torah. So there you have it. I mean, for those of you who are willing to accept it, that's a proof. That's a proof that God created the world. Because while it's true that that evolution seems to say that things get better, but it could also have been devolution. Like, things could have kept getting worse. You know, and people had the fish who were swimming in the water, they could have lost their fins and just like drained around instead of climbing out of the water and starting to walk. I mean, who says it had to be that way? I mean, it was that way, but it was that way because there was a point to it. And the point was that we were learning the Torah. That's the way the Sfat Emet understands what is going on. And then he goes on and says, V'zeh HaKoach. HaKoach is the first word on a line. It's the fifth line. Zeh HaKoach Mushrash B'kol Ish Yisrael B'frat. Every single Jew has the opportunity to improve himself, to be better, to be a better creation. How do you become a better creation? You say the words of Torah, because the essence of who you are is connected to what you say. And so the Chofetz Chaim was very concerned about people who say Lashon Hara, who speak Lashon Hara. He was concerned about that, not only because it's usher to speak Lashon Hara, which it is, but because people who speak Lashon Hara are not the kind of people who the Torah people should be. That's what the Chofetz Chaim was worried about. The Chofetz Chaim, after all, you know, was a Kohen, and he was very concerned about getting the Beit HaMikdash back in working order so that he could become one of the Kohanim. And he knew that was dependent on the quality of the speech of Bnei Yisrael. The quality of speech, and you know, there's no way to stop Lashon Hara. There's no way to stop Lashon Hara unless you think there's a better option. You know, they can let me from Heisman's Morgan, as they say. You know, you can talk to your blue in the face about Lashon Hara, it doesn't do much. Because Lashon Hara is great. It's fun. It's interesting. It appeals to my lesser instincts, like, you know, oh, he did that, or that's what happened, or wow, I really feel, I didn't do that. I mean, I can really feel good about that. So there's no way to stop me from having Yerushalayim have these Lashon Hara kinusim. Every year they get together, so I always know whether you have to prove that you speak Lashon Hara during the year in order to get in. Right? But apparently you don't have to, because it's a davar barur that everybody speaks Lashon Hara. So you don't have to. You don't even have to be embarrassed to go to the keynotes of Lashon Hara, because the people who don't go are probably not truth-sayers, besides Lashon Hara. So in other words, this koach that you have, dibur, that can be used for a higher purpose, like you ask somebody, some Buddhist who meditates, you say, how's meditation? He says, it's the greatest. I don't talk about anything. I don't think about anything. I mean, it's the most wonderful thing imaginable. I walk up to Jews, and the Jews say, no, you have to think about things. You have to talk about them. But you have to talk about things that are emotional alarm. You can't talk about, if you talk about Lashon Hara, you lose. So for people who talk Lashon Hara, meditation is a good idea. But they're not going to do it. Right? The only people who meditate are people who don't want to talk to anybody else. And so that's a separate problem. So dibur is what makes you special. And since dibur makes you special, you have to make sure that the dibur that you engage in is special. And the way you do that is by learning Torah. That's the way we do it. when you learn Torah, and you have other people to talk to about the Torah, so that becomes your mode of speech. So it's not like you're afraid to talk Lashon Hara. But like every other midah tova, you have to, in order to overcome the midah ra'ah, you have to really feel that the midah tova is better. It's a better deal. So if you want to overcome kavod, you want to be able to say, I'm not interested. I don't care where I sit, I don't care where I stand, I don't care what people, I'm not interested in that. You have to have something else that you are interested in. So what are you interested in? So what are you interested in? So if you would have asked the Chofetz Chaim, or Moshe Rabbeinu, what are you interested in? So they would say, I'm interested in standing before God. Better deal. If I have a choice between standing before God or standing on a high platform amongst my friends, I'd rather do God. But that you have to work on that. You have to work on that, but you can't just negate yourself. That doesn't work. I wouldn't say it's silly, but it doesn't work. It's like sometimes things come to your awareness through the kind of mussar that people give or get. But really, it's not the issue. The issue is not, are you doing something wrong? Can you stop doing it? But can you find something better to do? And if you find something better to do, you're going to do it. Indeed, you know that there are people in the world who, given the choice between talking Lashon Hara and learning a Daf Gemara, really would rather learn the Daf Gemara. Not because it's a palliative. Not because it's akamol against Lashon Hara, but because it's just a better thing. They like it better. Imagine that. You can like things that are right and good. You have to work at it. So, here we are. Vizeh, the last word on the fourth line is Vizeh. Hakoch mushrash b'kol yish Yisrael b'frat k'mo shekatav b'klal Yisrael k'tavnu b'klal Yisrael b'asherash mit'orer b'koch ha'esek b'torah shebechtav b'chol eit shemiyagim b'torah yagati u'matzati. He says that this is from the Torah. This opportunity exists in the Torah shebechtav yagati u'matzati hu kanal shemit'orer koch ha'mutba b'adam al yedei ha'yigi'ah. So really he's talking about this idea of yigi'ah. Everybody knows that learning Torah is an effort. You have to work at it. You have to... So the Sfatim had to say, why? Why do you have to work at Torah? Why couldn't it just come easily to you? Why couldn't it just, you know, everybody walk around and the Torah just drops into the head, like without any effort at all? Why do I have to learn the halachot of lulav and etrog and sukkah every year over again to make sure it's right? Why couldn't I just have learned it 20 years ago once and be done with it? Because what you're interested in, according to the Sfat Emet, is not just how do you build a sukkah or is this a kosher lulav, but you're interested in generating, what he calls Shemit Oreh Koach HaMutba BaAdam Al Yedei HaYidi'ah, that you will be able to impress on yourself the Torah, that comes through Yidi'ah, to make yourself into a Torah person. That's hard work. To understand this or that, or to know which Heksher is better, and which, you know, who eats here and who eats there, and which Lulav is in the Bible, that's easy. But to be somehow connected to the Torah, that's hard. So now he goes back to the Book of Devarim, and with this basic idea he's going to explain what the Book of Devarim is. So Har Sinai was not only the place where Bnei Yisrael received the Torah, but it was also the place where Bnei Yisrael became Bnei Yisrael, which meant that Bnei Yisrael understood that if they work hard with the Torah, they will become the best of people. They will be the best of creation. He says, V'zeh she'amar, mishezachah l'Torah. Eile advarim, and when they achieve this, then came the Book of Devarim, which begins with the words Eile advarim b'chinat hadibur shenimshach achar kol kmo shekatuv Moshe yidaber ve'elokim yanenu b'kol, that the kol came from God and the dibur came from Moshe Rabbeinu. Diber Loktiv, not the word diber. Rak, what word is in the pasuk? Moshe yidaber, which sounds like the future. Lo Moshe diber, but Moshe yidaber. What is Moshe yidaber? What does that mean? Yidaber, the remes al mishne Torah eile hadvarim. That's what the Torah meant when it started the Book of Dvarim with Eila HaDvarim. Moshe Yedaber! Hashem Yanenu B'kol. Moshe will show you how Torah is created. We call that Torah Shebaal Peh. Of course, it's limited. It has to follow the rules of the Torah Shebichtav. But Moshe Rabbeinu himself is going to do that. That's part of the Matan Torah. Part of the Matan Torah ambience. What happened at Matan Torah? God gave the Torah to Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael discovered that they could be special. Moshe Rabbeinu continued throughout the desert teaching them that Torah. And finally, Eila HaDvarim, which is a remez, goes back to Matan Torah, where it says, Moshe Yedaber, V'elokim Ya'anenu Bekol Kimon Mishnela Melech, Haman, you know, was the Mishnela Melech, meaning he was like the Melech, but not quite the Melech, and that's what Dvarim is. Eila Dvarim, they're like the Torah Shebishta, but not quite key. Madrigot Rabotesh Betorah. There are many levels of Torah understanding. To Moshe Katuv, Moshe Kibel Mitzrayim Yeshua, at the beginning of Pirkei Avot. Mimsa Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Shalom Hu Hasheni, the Shoresh HaTorah, the Piyakodesh Baruch Hu Atzmo. So Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who received the Torah from God Himself. He's number two. But Torah Shebaal Peh, what we call Torah Shebaal Peh, Giot, you tell me Torah Shabbat Bichtav. You have to work harder at Torah Shabbat Peh. Because Torah Shabbat Peh is a kind of a mystery. You've got to straighten it out to Moshe Katuv. The Medrash Tanchuma Noach someday, that's a good thing to learn. The Chayim Ra'inu. Ki Kodem Kabbalat HaTorah Haya Inyan Yitziat Mitzrayim. Shmot. Right, first there's Yitziat Mitzrayim. What's Yitziat Mitzrayim? Hard. It's hard on Bnei Israel. They were slaves. They couldn't daven. Finally, Moshe Rabbeinu got them out of the Mitzrayim. They called them at Torah Shemal Pe'anal, who tzrichu kama milchamot, v'chol ha-masa'ot shenasu b'amidbar, before Torah Shemal Pe'anal, the book of Dvarim, there were wars, Sichon and Og, and there were masa'ot, the travels in the desert for 38 years. Acharei ha-kotel, so the way he sees Jewish history, irrespective of why the Bnei Yisrael in particular were drained around in the desert for 38 years, according to the Sfat, they had to learn, they had to go through a course, a major course in sociology. Well, I think when I went to college, there was something called psychosos. Like, if you didn't want to do this, and you didn't want to do that, you could do it together. I didn't want to do this, I didn't want to do that, I didn't want to do it together. So, but I remember that I was listening to catalog that way. So according to the Sfat Emet, you can look at all history from different points of view. You can look at the history from the point of view of Am Yisrael. What did Am Yisrael do in the desert? What did Am Yisrael do in the Arvot Moav? There's history, right? There were wars. There were miracles. I mean, that's history. But you could also look at history from the point of view of the effect that that history has on the individual or on the community. Sometimes that's called sociology. You can call it whatever you want. So what does the Sfasana say? He says, it's true that it looks like history, Jewish history, was the result of accidental events. Like they decided to listen to the Meraglim. They decided to listen to the Meraglim, and so they couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael, so they drained around for 38 years. Sfat doesn't see it that way. He says, whether something is a punishment or a benefit is a hechetimtza. Like, again, the same thing. The same thing can happen to you and say, one person say, great, and another person say, oh, great. Right? You know, two people want to go to college. And the advisor says to them, you can only get into a poor college, and he gets into a middle-class college. And the advisor says to the other guy, you can get into a great college, and he gets into the same middle-class college, the same middle-level college. So one says, oh, what a blessing. And the other one says, oh, what a disappointment. Right? So there's no, even in events that happen. So it doesn't matter that it was a punishment, but it had to happen. That's what the Sfat Emet, that's what history is. History is what had to happen. Whether it's a punishment or a boon, that depends on who you are, what you're looking at, what you're thinking about, right? That's what makes the difference. So he says, Bnei Yisrael were in the desert, and things happened to them. And these things had to happen to them. Yitziat Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, the punishment of 38 years, the war against Sichon, they had to happen. because they impressed upon Bnei Yisrael that the challenges of life are profound, and those challenges can only be met by delving into the Torah. And when they understood that they had to delve into the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu came to the conclusion they understood it. He started teaching them Torah Shebaal Peh, the words of Moshe Rabbeinu, Eile HaDivarim, the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu derived from the Torah, the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu learned from the Torah. That's Eile HaDivarim. And then he says, five lines to the bottom, Medrash Melchiach Adam, Achrei Chein Yivtza, that's a pasuk in Mishnah. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu, Mimachlik Lashon Bil'am. Now let's look at the Lachein, I'm sorry, three lines to the bottom. Lachein Achai Nekama Bidalam K'tiv Eilah Dvarim. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the example that Tzvat Amet gives. What's the story of Bil'am? What's the story of Bil'am? What was going on? What do you need Bil'am for? What does he have to be in the Torah? What do we have to know what Bil'am said? I mean, after all, it was God who said it, put it into Bil'am's mouth. So why does Bil'am get a byline in the Torah? I mean, who needs Bil'am? So Tzvat Amet says, Zem Moshe Rabbeinu, 5 months in the bottom, Zem Moshe Rabbeinu mimachlik lishon Bil'am. In other words, Bil'am showed everybody how great Moshe Rabbeinu was. Because everybody thought, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, he's a Navi. He's the great prophet. Great prophets don't have any problems. They do the right thing because that's the way they are. If they're not going to change, maybe what? I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu? I'm not like Moshe Rabbeinu. He's not a model for me. So along came Bil'am. Who is Bil'am? He was a Navi. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu. But he couldn't control his inclinations. He wanted to make money. He wanted to satisfy Balak. In other words, the fact that he was a Navi did not modify his behavior. And so as a result of Bil'am, only as a result of Bil'am, people understood who Moshe Rabbeinu was. Because they thought before that Moshe Rabbeinu was chained into being Moshe Rabbeinu. That was it. That was his thing. Along comes Bil'am and explains to Bnei Yisrael that Moshe Rabbeinu, he had to overcome. Even Moshe Rabbeinu had to overcome. Had to beat the devil within him. Mikasheh, he says, Mabanu Lamdeinu Malat HaTzadik Al HaRasha. This is how the Sfat Emet says it. She says, everybody understands. But what do I have to know about Bil'am? That Bil'am was a bad guy, Moshe Rabbeinu was a good guy. He says, Raka Peirush, Shal Yidei Yishat Bil'am Nitaleh Moshe Rabbeinu. The wickedness of Bil'am is what made Moshe Rabbeinu for us. We understood that Moshe Rabbeinu was not a captive of his mission. It wasn't that God said, get them there, Israel, and Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do anything else. It was rather that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to create Moshe Rabbeinu out of himself. And that Bil'am was not able to do. Lachein, Achar HaNikama B'Bil'am. It was only after people understood who Moshe Rabbeinu really was. And that happened after they defeated Bil'am and killed him. Ke'en, it says, and then Moshe Rabbeinu said, and now I'm going to tell you the sublime secret, which is Torah Shebaal Peh. That we're not stuck here with the Torah Shebichtav. We're not forever sitting in the same place. But we're the people of Torah Shebaal Peh. We count. We make it. We turn it into what we want it to be. And so, he says, Ke'en shematzinu, This is what it means. Hashem mi Sinai ba. Vizarach mi Seir Lamo. Ofiya mi Har Paran. So do you remember that pasuk at the beginning of Dvarim? Let's remember it. We learned it. Darshu Chazal b'Zohar. Shal yedei shelo ratzu lekabel, mi lo ratza lekabel. Esav lo ratza lekabel. Yishmael lo ratza lekabel. Mikoach ze zarach v'ofia levnei Yisrael. In other words, Bnei Yisrael what might have also said. I mean, you know, we don't know. If Bnei Yisrael received the Torah, so we say, okay, God offered them the Torah. So you take it. God gives away something. You take it, but we see no. It took great strength to accept the Torah. It was much easier, as Esau and Yishmael proved, not to reject the Torah. They accepted the Torah. They accepted the Torah. Kein haya ata mizeh nivchan efresh bein Nevi Yisrael Nevi'ei Olmot lachein chein yimtza mimachlik lashon kanal. Machlik lashon, remember that pasuk in Mishle that he quoted? That there's your tongue is slippery. And you're able to do things with your tongue. So according to the Sfat Emet, according to the Sfat Emet, Torah Shel Bal Peh, it's not just an aggregate of things that were left out of Torah Shel Bichtav. And it's not true, according to the Sfat Emet, that the Torah Shel Bal Peh existed in its entirety someplace, and all we had to do was pull it down. But that Torah Shel Bal Peh represents a human achievement. A human achievement where we say we can also have something to say about the Torah, more than that. We have to have something to say about the Torah. We have to stick to the rules. We have to do it the way Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to us, but we have to keep doing it. Otherwise, the Torah is going to disappear. Because Torah is the Torah Shebichtav that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us, but it's also the Eila HaDvarim, which creates the humanity within each and every one of us. So that's the book of Dvarim. And you notice that the psukim that the Sfat Emet refers to, or the first pasuk in the book, and the second pasuk in the parasha of Vizot HaBracha, those two psukim teach us what is going on in the book of Dvarim. And when Moshe Rabbeinu is talking, I mean, I'm not talking about the mitzvot of the book of Dvarim, but Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to Bnei Yisrael and telling them what the Torah wants of them. These are the Dvarim. Moshe Yedaber, V'alokim Ya'anenu V'kol, and God approves and includes them, those words of Moshe Rabbeinu, in the Torah. And that's the model that we work with. So on Simchat Torah, when we read the parasha of Zot HaBracha, that's what we do on Simchat Torah. We have to understand that the Simcha, and what does Simcha come from? Lulei de Mistafina, I would say. The Simcha of Simchat Torah does not come from the fact that we are singing and dancing. I mean, it's not like we impose the Simcha on ourselves, but we are singing and dancing because of something that happened. Now you could say that what happened is we finished the Torah, but I mean, we knew that. We knew we were going to finish the Torah. I mean, what's the big deal? According to the Sfat Emet, the Simcha is, it's like you discover, somebody has a chronic illness, and he discovers a cure. It's right there for somebody, he can cure himself. And he does. So of course he would be happy. What if you discovered life? Discover what life really is. It would make you happy. So that's the book of Dvarim. The book of Dvarim is about our interaction, like interactivity with the Torah, shebichtav, to produce the Torah shebal peh. This is realized in the book, in the parasha of Vizot HaBracha, on this pasuk, Shem Miseir, Zarach Miseir, Lamo, Lefim HaParan, Vazimri Rosh Kodesh, Miminoish Dat Lamo. This is the pasuk that was said by Moshe Rabbeinu to say that Dvarim connects to Matan Torah. On Matan Torah, we learned that there's a tremendous potential that human beings have. That's how they receive the Torah. But in Dvarim, we learn that the great simcha of our existence is in being part of the tradition of the Torah. We call that Torah Shemal Peh, and it's an opportunity for each and every one of us. This Shabbat is Sukkot. We don't read the parasha of Vizot HaBracha, but we will eventually get to it. Chag Sameach, Gmar Chatima Tova. We daven Maariv.